I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to read the first 17 verses. This is more verses than we usually deal with in a message. We just want to glean some things. But in Hebrews chapter 12, read the first 17 verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Reading through the book of Hebrews, it is apparent that the recipients of this letter were suffering from persecution. They had trials in their life. And the entire letter from start to finish is an admonition, is an encouragement for these people to persevere to have faith and to continue to believe. Throughout Hebrews, there is a call to endure unto the end, to persevere or to continue in the faith, to go on following Christ no matter what, and not to stop short of what God has for his people. We see that these themes throughout the book of Hebrews. We see that our text continues this theme of persevering, of advancing spiritually. You notice verse 1, the text opens with that word, wherefore, which of course is a relative adverb, a conjunction, simply means as a result of which, or in view of what has been said. So this portion of Hebrews that we've just read is a continuation of something that has been previously said. And I believe it takes us back to verse 35 of chapter 10. And there we are exhorted, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That is followed in verse 36 with this statement, for ye have need of patience. The word patience meaning endurance. The motivation for this endurance is found in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That is what motivates us to endure in the Christian life. Then there is the declaration, the statement, that the justified, the saved, shall live by faith. That is, while we're waiting for Jesus Christ to return, now the just shall live by faith. And then he says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. So he's now stressing a faith that keeps on believing. This is where endurance comes from, that faith. And then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer goes on to illustrate the lives of those who lived by faith, the lives of those who did not cast away their confidence, the lives of those who did not draw back into perdition. So what we read here in the 11th chapter is proof of the power, of the persevering power of faith to enable the child of God to do whatever God commands, to enable the child of God to endure whatever God appoints, and to enable the child of God to attain all of the promises of the Lord. In light of all of that, our text opens with, wherefore? And this is followed by a call for God's people to persevere, for God's people to go forward, for God's people to advance in their spiritual life, no matter what the obstacles. And he does this by using the analogy of a race. He says, let us run with patience. Remember back in Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of patience. You have need of endurance. Let us run with that endurance that we stand in need of, and that is the result of faith. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the implications of a race are very descriptive of the character and the manner of the lives that a child of God is to live. A race, of course, implies exertion. A race is something that requires strenuous and determined effort. In other words, the life of a child of God is not a life of ease. It is not a life of relaxation. A race implies progression and advancement. In a race, one is moving forward. It tells us that the life of a child of God is not going backwards. The life of a child of God is not to be stationary. It is to be progressing. A race implies a goal, a finish line, something to be pursued. And the life of a child of God is a pursuit. A race implies a specified course. In other words, the life of a child of God is not at random. There is a course in which we must run. A race implies rules and restrictions. In other words, the life of a child of God is not just haphazard. A race implies concentration of purpose. A race implies singleness of aim, showing us that the life of a child of God is a very, very serious matter. So we have this exhortation to run the race,
to persevere, to move forward spiritually. This is followed by some instruction in verse 2 and verse 3. How is it that we are to obtain this endurance for the race? Looking unto Jesus. And then in verse 3, consider Him. So we have instruction on how we are to obtain this endurance. We are to look unto Jesus. We are to consider Jesus Christ. Followed by a reminder that these Hebrews had not yet given all in their service to the Lord. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood. Oh, you have suffered. You have suffered the loss of many things, but your life has not been required as of yet, is what he's telling them. You have not yet given all. And then there is a rebuke in verse 5. The rebuke is that they had gotten to the point where they had begun to think lightly of the Lord's chastening or of the Lord's training and the Lord's disciplining his own. And then, of course, that is followed by a dissertation on the subject of the Lord's training and the Lord's disciplining of his children. We see that in verses 6 through 11. But beginning with verse 12, there is the application now of the Lord's discipline, of the Lord's training. Again, we see in verse 12 that word, wherefore, as a result of which, or in view of what has been said, referring back to the Lord's chastening of his own. This is followed by several exhortations in verses 13 through 15, followed by the illustration of Esau as a warning in verses 16 and 17. Now, reading through Hebrews, leading up to our text, and including our text, there are warnings of spiritual dangers. There are warnings of spiritual pitfalls. And also leading up to our text and including the text, you have stressed over and over the importance of a right spiritual condition. We want to view these things, these dangers, the importance of a right spiritual condition. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the danger of an unspiritual condition. The danger of an unspiritual condition. First of all, we need to realize the reality of spiritual danger. There are repeated warnings throughout Hebrews concerning spiritual danger, concerning spiritual pitfalls. These warnings are seen in the repeated use of the word lest, L-E-S-T. We see it used 5 times here in Hebrews chapter 12. But we see the word is used many times throughout the book of Hebrews. It is a word that implies risk. It is a word that implies danger. It is a word that tells us that there is something to be avoided. It is a word that tells us of the possibility of something very destructive happening. Notice the use of the word. If we go back to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to be referring to these verses a few different times. But in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest, and then the danger follows, at any time we should let them slip. That is, the words which we have heard, the instruction which we have been taught. It has reference to the Word of God. The danger is that the things of God slip from our minds, that the things of God become stale. That is a real danger. It is a danger that we all face. Then notice in chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. Take heed, brethren, lest the danger follows. There be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And what this evil heart of unbelief will do, it will cause you to depart from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest, there it is again, danger, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the dangers are that the things of God become stale. The dangers are that we have an evil heart of unbelief. The danger is that our heart be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest, here comes the danger, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Coming short of the blessings of God. Verse 11 of Hebrews 4. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest that he talked about in verse 1. Lest, here comes the danger again, any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then if we go back to our text in Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We see in verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. These are all very specific dangers. But notice that the dangers can occur at any time. Go back to Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time. So the particular danger can occur at any time. Lest at any time the words of God become stale. Also, not only are the dangers ever present, but they are real to all. Notice in chapter 3, verse 12, again. Notice the phrase, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. In any of you. Verse 13. Lest any of you. So the danger is ever present at any time. And the danger is real to everyone. Lest any of you. Chapter 4, verse 1. We see again, toward the end of that verse, that phrase, any of you. Verse 11, we read, any man, lest any man, no one is exempt from these dangers. There is no time that is exempt from these dangers. They can occur at any time. Chapter 12, verse 15. Chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man. So the dangers are ever present, lest at any time. The dangers are real to all. We are all subject to them. We see that in those two phrases. Any of you, any man, if you think for one moment that you are exempt from these dangers, you are the very one who will fall. We are not exempt from any of these dangers at any time. Now he goes on, we've already seen in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, that he mentions specific dangers. These dangers can occur at any time, and all men are subject to them. But we want to notice in our text, Hebrews chapter 12, we want to notice the dangers that he mentions. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, lest ye be wearied. Again, lest implies danger. There is the danger, there is the risk that we become spiritually weary. This word simply means an exhaustion that breaks one's resolve. I'm speaking spiritually. And usually results in some sort of despondency. Lest ye be weary and faint. To faint is to become half-hearted. It is to become weak. It is to become feeble. It is the loss of vigor. It is the loss of energy. It is the loss of passion. And notice these things are inward. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You can go through the motions outwardly, but be literally, spiritually exhausted in your mind and lose all inward energy and passion toward the things of God. This is a danger. This is a danger that can occur at any time. This is a danger that we are all subject to. Now, in every one of these dangers, prior to our text, and even in our text, the writer gives instruction to prevent the danger. How is it that we prevent becoming weary and faint in our minds? Well, that goes back to verse 1. We are to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We must deal with our sins, because if we do not deal with our sins, they will wear us out, and eventually we will become weary and we will faint. We must deal with our sins. He goes on in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. You have to keep your eyes upon the Lord. If you get your eyes upon the other runners, if you get your eyes upon other of God's people, you are going to become weary. You are going to faint. If you get your eyes on circumstances, you are going to become weary and you are going to faint. The way to prevent weariness and faintness of heart is to look always unto Jesus. Never take your eye off of Him. And then he goes on in verse 3 to say, consider Him. And then in light of all these things, do these things, that is, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Look unto Jesus, consider Him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So there is the danger that you and I become spiritually weary, that we become spiritually faint. But we have instruction on how to prevent it. This is the way to prevent the danger. There is also the danger in verse 13 Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather, that is, rather than being turned out of the way, be healed. There is the danger. At any time, we are all subject to it, that our lives have an adverse and destructive effect upon weaker children of God. And that's what he's talking about here when he refers to the lame being turned out of the way. The lame are those who are weaker than those who run the race. The lame are the weak children of God. And it is always an ever-present danger that our lives have an adverse effect upon the weaker. To prevent this, we're to make straight paths for our feet. That is, we're to walk consistently. Also, we're to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, we're to fight against spiritual decay. Never, never, never ignore spiritual decay in any area of your life, because it will have an adverse effect on you. It will have an adverse effect upon others. He says, lift up the feeble hands. Lift them up. Don't stay there. Be aware of spiritual decay. There is also the danger in verse 15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. The danger is that we do not avail ourselves of the grace of God. Now there is a progression here, beginning with verse 1. There is a progression. If we do not keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, verse 2, if we do not keep our minds upon Him, consider Him, verse 3, we will get to the place where we will not seek His grace. Where we will not seek His gracious provision. There is the danger, verse 15, that we bring trouble into our lives. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There is the danger that we bring trouble into our lives, that we bring difficulties, that we bring trials, that we bring griefs and affliction and suffering into our lives, and defile others as well. Again, notice the progression. If we do not keep our eyes and minds upon Christ, verse 2 and 3, we eventually will not avail ourselves of the grace of God, of God's grace. This will bring trouble into our lives and the utter inability to deal with them. We have seen God's people, at least those who profess to be God's people, who have not the ability to deal with trouble in their life. People say, oh, that's not so. God's grace is sufficient. Not if you fail the grace of God. Not if you do not avail yourself of the grace of God. Not if you get in such a spiritual condition that you don't even know how to lean upon God. When that happens, you have no ability to deal with the difficulties and the trials of your life. And things just continually progress. You notice also in verse 16, there is the danger that we become fornicators. And I believe this is spiritual. Spiritual fornicators. Turning from God. turning away from God, turning to other gods, turning away from God, turning to the things of the world. Again, there's a progression. Now this individual who does not avail himself of the grace of God is getting further and further and further away from the Lord. They have left the Lord. But again, there's another danger. And that is the danger of becoming profane in spirit. As we grow further from God, because we did not avail ourselves of the grace of God, because we did not look unto Jesus, because we did not consider Him, the eventual result is that we become profane. This was the spirit of Esau. To profane is to prostitute that which is sacred to common use. In other words, a profane person makes light of sacred things. A profane person makes light of spiritual things. The truth is, a profane person is a godless person. You say, well, what is a godless person? Well, to have a profane spirit is to just live our lives in the present. To live our lives for the momentary. Absorbed in the temporal rather than the spiritual. Earthbound rather than heavenbound. This is what it means to be a profane person. This is what all these dangers eventually lead to. Again, notice the progression. A failure to keep our eyes and minds upon Christ, verses 2 and 3, leads to us being inconsistent in our walk, leads to us not availing ourselves of the grace of God. Trouble comes into our lives, and now we do not have the ability to deal with the troubles. We turn from God to the world. We go further and further away from God until we become profane in spirit. These are all catastrophes. But there are ways of prevention, such as, verse 14, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. That's how to prevent you and I having an adverse effect upon the spiritually weak. That is, be consistent in your life. And he goes on, and he says that we are to pursue right things. Follow peace. Holiness. Looking diligently. That could mean to ourselves, to our own spiritual condition. It could be referring back to verse 2, looking unto Jesus. But these are the ways of preventing these dangers, these catastrophes. Then we want to notice the danger and the catastrophe is illustrated in the person of Esau. What happens if we fall into these dangers? What happens if we fall into these pitfalls? That puts us even in an even more dangerous situation. Esau, as we know, was an unsaved individual. That's made clear from Romans chapter 9. And we know that it was the will and plan of God for Jacob to have the birthright. And though those things be true, Esau, though a lost man, serves as a warning to God's people. The warning is that we do not fall into such a state that we begin to think lightly upon that which is truly valuable and trade it away for the momentary. All of this is illustrated in the person of Esau. The danger is that we allow ourselves to get into such a spiritual condition that we lose sight of that which is truly valuable. Due to Esau's spiritual state, what was Esau's spiritual state? He was a profane person. We read in verse 16. Because he was a profane person, Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. Now, the birthright included many blessings, such as a double portion of parental inheritance. It included rule. It included government. There were personal blessings from God. And yet the Old Testament birthright pales in comparison to the spiritual blessings that you and I have in salvation. We read in Genesis 25, in verse 34, again, to profane something is to take that which is sacred and make it common. A profane person has no sense of value. They have lost sight of what is truly important in their life. And as we see it here in Hebrews 12, this progression of dangers, it's the last step. I mean, to become a profane person, for a child of God to become a profane person, that takes a while. This isn't something that just happens overnight. This takes a while. And we see here in Genesis 25 and verse 34, the last part of that verse says that Esau despised his birthright. Now, the word despised there doesn't mean that he hated it, that he abhorred it. It simply means that he thought lightly of his birthright. Why? Because he was profane. That's what profane people do. They think lightly of that which is spiritual. Esau profaned his birthright. That is, he did not have a proper esteem of his birthright. This is due to the fact that he was profane. Now notice in Genesis 25, we'll read verses 30. Through verse 32. And Esau, well, let's read verse 29. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Remember the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, he begins to reason with himself. May I say, when you fall into an unspiritual condition, you are not fit to reason. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall the birthright be to me? He began to reason. Due to his spiritual state, Esau had more esteem, he had more respect, he had more regard for the temporary than he did for his birthright. He saw the temporary as being more valuable than the birthright. He saw it as being more useful than the birthright. He saw it as being more important than the birthright. He saw it as being more profitable than the birthright. God's people get in this condition all the time, where they view the temporal as more important than the spiritual. That is a mark of a profane person. It is a mark of a person who has lost all sense of reason. He has lost all sense of value. Due to his spiritual state, the temporary became a priority. The temporary became a priority. The danger of an unspiritual condition, which the example of Esau pictures, is that of misplaced value, that of misplaced importance. Again, this is an ever-present danger. It is a danger real to all of us, but God has given us instruction on how to avoid the danger. So if we fall victim to these dangers, it is due to our own failure to follow the instruction of God. No one else's fault. The spiritual state of Esau led to a catastrophic choice. Esau was a profane person, verse 16. He lived for the present. He was absorbed in the temporal rather than the spiritual. He was an earthbound individual. We've already seen that his reasoning is skewed. And in this state, he is faced with a choice. Whatever your spiritual condition is right now, you and I are faced with choices every single day. You realize the danger of allowing yourself to get in a weak spiritual condition because you are going to be faced with choices. Do you realize the danger of getting away from God? Because while in that condition, you are going to have to make decisions. You are going to have to make choices. And while in that condition, you will make the wrong choice. And that's why people, they get away from God, and they have the ignorance to say, well, I'm praying about it. Don't you see? You are in such a spiritual condition, you can't pray. You can't pray. You don't seek God's will when you get in these conditions. It is very dangerous to allow ourselves to get in an unspiritual condition. Because while we are in that condition, we will be faced with choices. So that unspiritual condition puts us on very, very dangerous ground. Esau made his choice. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And God's people say, what a fool! What must he have been thinking? We've all done it. We've all done it. We've all sold spiritual blessings for what? One morsel of meat. We have all sold spiritual blessings for that which is merely temporal. Yes, we are right when we say, Esau, what a fool! That is correct. And it is correct of you and I as well. Oh, the danger of becoming profane. The danger of losing our sense of value. The truth is, when the spiritual and the temporal are put side by side and you have to choose, you shouldn't even have to think about it. Esau should not have even had to think of this. And you and I shouldn't even have to think about it. It's a bad sign that you have to think about it. It's already a sign that you are in an unspiritual condition. Notice verse 17. The catastrophe. For we know how that afterward he made a choice. And with every choice there is an afterward. There is an afterward. You get yourself in an unspiritual condition. You get yourself away from God. You are going to make choices in that condition. You are going to make decisions in that condition. And I remind you today, there is an afterward. Consequences are coming. Afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. He wept and he wept and he wept for that birthright. But it was gone. It's gone. He sold it. He cannot undo that day that he made this choice. Oh, the danger. Oh, the danger of getting in an unspiritual condition. Because we are going to have to make choices. We are going to have to make decisions while in that condition. God help anyone who is in an unspiritual condition, who is now faced with making decisions for his or her family, God help you. If you get yourself in an unspiritual condition and you make the wrong choices. For those who trade away, thus saith the Lord, for that one morsel of meat, I remind you there is an afterward. For those who are willing to trade away the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for that one morsel of meat, I remind you there is an afterwards. For those who want to trade away prayer and fellowship with the Lord and a closer walk with the Lord for that one morsel of meat, I remind you there is an afterward. This is very dangerous to get in an unspiritual condition. For those who trade away walking in the ways of the Lord for that one morsel of meat, again I remind you, there is an afterward. For those who refuse to put God first because of that one morsel of meat, I remind you, there is an afterward. Do not allow yourself to get in such a spiritual condition that you are going to make a catastrophic choice and decision. Because it may be a choice, it may be a decision that you will have to live with the rest of your life. It is dangerous to get in an unspiritual condition. Beware that you do not get into such a condition that the one morsel of the now makes sense to you. Happens all the time. You try to plead with people. Don't you see what you're throwing away? But they've gotten themselves in such a condition that one morsel of meat makes sense to them. They've lost their mind. Oh, you and I are in trouble when it makes sense. And people, I thought about it and I prayed about it, and this is right for me. It's never right for you to trade away the blessings of God for one morsel of meat or for the temporary. So beware that we do not get ourselves in such a condition that it makes sense. It made sense back in Genesis 25, Esau. I'm going to die. What use is this birthright to me? It just made sense to him. There's far too much at stake for you and I not to be diligent concerning our spiritual condition. Our own lives are at stake. Our children's lives. Our church. On and on and on we can go. Do not allow yourself to get into a bad spiritual condition. This is a matter of urgency. This is a matter of urgency. And the way to stay close to God, we sin every day. The way to stay close is you deal with sin as soon as you commit it. You deal with it. You don't let it linger, because there's a progression. You go from one danger, one pitfall, to the next, and eventually you become profane, and the temporal makes more sense to you than the spiritual. There's far too much at stake not to take care of our spiritual condition. We must pay close attention. We must take special care to our own spiritual condition. Because to get in a wrong spiritual condition puts you and I in a danger that we're not fully aware of. Oh, the danger. If you're here tonight and you're saved, but you're in a wrong spiritual condition, you are in grave danger. You are in danger of destroying your life. You say, well, I'll repent and get it right later. He sought it with tears. He wept. It was too late. It's too late. Many times, because of foolish choices, because we were not in a proper spiritual condition at the time to make the choice, there are consequences that you will live with for the rest of your life. I don't say that to discourage anybody. I say that to encourage us to stay in a right spiritual condition, to realize the importance. I've got to stay right with God. Because too much is at stake if I don't. Got to stay right. Because of what I might lose, because of what others might lose, because of the destruction. All the destruction that one sin can cause in a country, in a church, in a home, in a life. All that would realize the seriousness of staying right with God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.